Would you open your Bibles up this morning to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 are perhaps the best known Proverbs in the book. So if you'd like to turn to that place, I would think many of us have memorized verses 5 and 6 from some translation or other. Okay, let me read those. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. We know we don't always have to pray before we look into your word or speak from it, but sometimes it just feels good to thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And these two Proverbs, if we were to look, now you might name them in a way different from the way I have, but I see here three conditions and a promise. Trust, don't lean, acknowledge, and then the promise of straight paths. The first condition, we'll just get right into it this morning. The first condition, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Again, if you haven't memorized, you hardly need a Bible this morning. The Hebrew word translated as trust is used in the Bible in both a positive and a negative context. No surprise, I'm sure. But here it's used positively. Here it's used as rely on the Lord, put your confidence in him, let him be your security. It's easy for us to put other things in place that we find security in. When the Hebrew word translated trust is used negatively in our Bible, the point is usually what not to trust. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your own resources. Don't rely too much on other people or other things. When I was reading this, I couldn't help but think of one of our former presidents here in the United States, President Ronald Reagan, who said, trust but verify. And when work, you know, you learn to do that whenever you can. You trust people and things, but you verify when you can, to see if your trust is correctly placed. You know, I trust a number of people, and I want to say something, but it's just not true. I want to say that I always trust God the most, but that's not always true. As I thought about it, I thought, well, that's certainly not true. At times, I find myself relying on someone or something other than God. I just do. You say, well, that's wrong. Well, of course it's wrong. Maybe I trust the doctor to make me well. Maybe I trust my car to get me where I think I need to go. Maybe I trust the market to have something I need. Misplaced trust, but there it is. I'm going to give three biblical reasons why we, and I do mean we, should trust the Lord. And I'm not going to run you around to references. I'm just going to state them. Three biblical reasons why we should trust the Lord. First, the Bible says that God cannot lie. It's not in his character to lie. So you can trust what he tells you in his word. It's the truth. He can't lie. Of course, we live in a world filled with liars and lies, if you haven't noticed. But you can always trust God to tell you the truth. Not to pull any punches in telling you the truth, telling me the truth. That's why sometimes it hurts a little bit. So first of all, God cannot lie. You can trust him. Second, the Lord, of course, is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing and all-wise, which means he never makes mistakes. I've heard people say, I was born in the wrong era, wrong time. No, you weren't. Sorry, I had a thought. You know how your mind goes. He never makes mistakes. And you may, you know, I'm just talking like a human, but you may immediately think of your own situation and that God has surely made some mistakes when it comes to you. That's human to think that way. It's wrong, but it's human. While you may not welcome or understand why God has dealt with you in some way or dealt with me in some way, it's no mistake. No matter how you cut that, I'll just give you the least. At the very least, God has allowed something to happen to you and to me. He doesn't make mistakes. He's omniscient. You may, and I can see this again, speaking humanly. Well, that makes matters worse. He didn't make a mistake. He let this happen knowingly. Okay. But the point is, he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't lie. He doesn't make mistakes. He hasn't made one with you. Again, I'm not saying you may not think otherwise. But our thinking gets off track at times. And the third reason that you and I should trust God, third biblical reason, and I think this might be the hardest one for some people, most difficult one for some people to really believe, really truly believe. God loves you, and so he won't be unkind to you. And again, I know the human response, but he has been unkind to me. Well, I know it can seem that way on this side of eternity. In earthly terms, it may seem that that's the case, but in light of eternity, it's not the case. God really does love you. So, three biblical reasons to trust God. He always tells the absolute truth. His knowledge is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. And he really does love you, although it may seem to the contrary to you at times and to me. Now, that's the first condition, but I'm not quite through with it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I'm more than willing to trust him a little. But God says, I want all your heart. So not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. Not with a double mind, but with single-mindedness. We trust him. That's what we're supposed to do. And when we fall short of that, we suffer for it. Now, you know that in Scripture, the heart represents the totality of your inner being, your mind, your emotions, and your will, and whatever else is in there, right? That's what it represents. So you are to trust God with everything, all your heart, all that you are. You know, my daughter traveled down my closest daughter lives in Casper, and I don't use her as any kind of an example except for travel here in this case. because I never have put my children first above anybody else's kids. Have I? Should I do it right now and break the cycle? All right. But I want to talk. We love her very much. She traveled down here for Thanksgiving. And, I prayed for her safe travel because on Wednesday when she came, some of the roads were still, colors, orange, yellow, whatever they are. Kathy looks all this up. And, I prayed for safe travel for my daughter and grandson as they're coming down. But it dawned on me later when I started thinking about that. Okay, so I prayed for them, but that doesn't mean I trusted God. I mean, I prayed. Yeah, at that moment, I was asking God, would you get them safely here? But trust is, as time goes by, what if they're delayed? Trust is, it goes on. It's not just a prayer, okay, Lord, I'm asking you to keep them safe. There's more to it than just that prayer, you see. And it kind of dawned on me for the first time, I think. Because I always thought, well, I prayed for it, everything's fine. Well, that's not where the trust ends. What if the phone rings and they say, I'm broke down? Over by, I don't know, what's between here and Casper? Medicine Bow. I'm broke down by Medicine Bow. I'd say, honey, I'm sure you can get a tow truck and find somebody that'll help. You and I are not supposed to hold back. We're supposed to put it all out there, if you will. Cast everything on him. And like I said, it's more than just that prayer, which we sometimes think, well, I'm trusting God. No, you're not. You made that. Maybe at that moment you prayed you wanted to. But given a little time and circumstance, you begin to waffle and waver. And that's what I challenged myself with on Wednesday, although there were no problems. Okay, so you trust God with all your heart. That doesn't mean you should go limp. Well, I trust God. You meet people like, oh, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord to help me pick up this book. Well, if you can pick it up, man. There were two famous, well, in England at the same time, in the 18th century, there were two very famous preachers. You may know their names. One of them for sure, Charles Spurgeon. The other one, not as well known to a lot of modern Christians, his name was Joseph Parker, and he was supposedly a great preacher. Anyway, Parker said this, that a truly religious man does everything as if everything depends on himself, and then leaves everything as if everything depended on God. I thought that was well put. You know, Parker's the same guy. I know I've told this story before. I'll make it quick. It just thrills me to read it. It makes me laugh. A little church wrote Parker, who was pastor of a great big church there in London. They wrote him and said, would you come to our little church and be our pastor? And he wrote back just a real short message, can an eagle land in a sparrow's nest? I know that's arrogance, but it just tickles me. You do what you do, but you're trusting God as you do it. There was another 18th century preacher I'd like to quote here. I thought he said something worth repeating, and I'm not talking about Spurgeon. I'm talking about Dwight Moody. And here's what he wrote concerning trusting God with all your heart. Trust in yourself, and you are doomed to disappointment. Trust in your friends, and they will die and leave you. Trust in money, and you may have it taken away from you. Trust in reputation, and some slanderous tongues will bash it. Trust in God, and you are never to be confounded in time or eternity. That's good advice. It's hard for us to do. We supplement other things in there. That's the first condition. I'll make shorter work of the others so you don't. I don't want to worry you. The second condition is, do not lean on your own understanding. Now, God isn't advocating blind trust on our part. He's not asking us to suspend critical judgment. I mean, just common sense comes into play here. God did not give you a brain that is capable of reasoning and analyzing and comprehending so that you could throw that brain into a neutral gear and leave it there. God wants you to think, of course. So we're not talking about that when we talk about leaning on your own understanding. We're talking about something else. We're talking about not putting our entire reliance on our natural, flawed, limited selves. You and I are not to be the primary source of our understanding. And often we fall into that posture, don't we? I think. I read an account recently of a man who was accused of snatching a woman's purse from her arm and running away with it. This guy was one of these proud, kind of arrogant fellows, and he was so sure of his own mental powers that he undertook his own defense and acted as his own lawyer in a Tulsa, Oklahoma courtroom. There you are, brother. He has a sister that lives in Tulsa. She probably never met this guy. So he acted as his own lawyer. Well, finally, the victim took the stand, took the witness stand, and this confident, self-appointed lawyer, in really a proverbial way, he said to her, "Did you get a good look at my face when I took your purse?" Now, you knew that was coming, but still makes me smile. That's a true story, the way it was written. It actually happened. So the second condition is don't lean on your own understanding completely. Sure, do your thinking, do your planning, but your trust is in God. He doesn't lie. He knows everything. You trust Him. And if your plans need to be adjusted, adjust them. Trust God with all your heart. Don't become your own oracle. And the third condition, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. The Hebrew word in this case takes in two English words, acknowledge Him. More literally translated, it reads like this: know Him. In all thy ways, know Him. In every avenue of your life, you should know Him in an intimate and trusting ways. Oh, I know Him. I can trust Him. You know God through His written word. You know Him through prayer. You know Him through the Holy Spirit who indwells all genuine believers. And you know Him in other ways. You know Him. You can trust Him. You can believe Him. You can lean on Him. Because you know Him. This is real personal knowledge. Well, you know Him as Savior. No more personal it can get than that. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, joined the human race not only to save us from our sins, but to show us more of God. Well, what would God be like? Well, read the Gospels. There's Jesus. There He is. There's the God-man. So, you know, it can't be very pleasing to God when we treat him as a stranger or someone that we barely know. Well, I think I can trust him. Or something like, for a lot of professing Christians, oh yeah, I remember him. I met him at youth camp when I was 13 years old. I should catch up with him sometime. There's not that closeness. There's not that intimacy. It's recollection of a profession made, you know, 20, 30 years ago. If you don't know him and keep up, you know, that fellowship between you and him, it's very hard to trust him with all your heart. Very hard. Impossible, you might say. So in all your ways, acknowledge him and know that you can trust him because you know him. So we have the three conditions, and then God gives a promise, if you will. And he will make straight your paths. Well, what does that mean exactly? He will put you and keep you on the best path, but that still isn't definitive enough. What's that mean? First of all, this is not a path that's free from cares and challenges, and boy, we know that. But it is the path that leads to eternal life. That's the path he puts us on and keeps us on. It's the straight path of the wise, not the crooked path of the wicked. It's the path of those who know Christ as Savior, not the path of those who reject Christ. It's the path to heaven, not to perdition. It's the path of the saved, not the path of the lost. That's the straight path. You know the 23rd Psalm. Again, I would think many of you can not only quote these two verses in Proverbs, but you can quote the 23rd Psalm from some Bible translation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's the straight path. That's it. That is the path that Jesus put us on when he saved us. Let's just stay on the path, huh? Let's stay on the path. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for each person that made the trek or trip here this morning. In Jesus' name, we're grateful. Amen. Ted?